Pre-trial hearings for Private Bradley Manning continued in Fort Meade, Maryland today. Manning was arrested in 2010 in Iraq and charged with aiding the enemy by turning over hundreds of thousands of pages of classified documents to WikiLeaks. He was first held in Kuwait for 2 months, then transferred to a Marine Corps brig in Quantico, Virginia, for 9 months, then to a prison in Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. Manning's lawyer said the conditions of his pretrial confinement and treatment in Kuwait and Quantico were cruel and unusual, amounting to torture. Yesterday, for the first time since his arrest, Manning was allowed to speak in open court. Michael Ratner, former president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, was in the courtroom yesterday.
Bradley Manning was extraordinary on the witness stand. It was so different than the impressions we had from reading media and other sources. First, he's very articulate, very smart, very self-aware, spoke without gaps. It was one of the more impressive direct examinations of a witness I've ever heard in my life. And you just got this feeling of such great dignity about him, despite what he has gone through and despite the cruel and inhuman treatment that he went through, and that he knows he's facing so many years in prison. And he had a dignity that was unbelievable. He talked about his time when he was in the worst condition, when he was in these cages during the first 2 months of his arrests, and how for him, his whole world just was collapsing. And then he described what happened to him when he was arrested. It was about May 27th, 2010. He's arrested, and he doesn't know why he's arrested. He doesn't know if he's arrested. He's just picked up, and he's taken somewhere. And he's, within a day or so, taken to Kuwait. He doesn't know why. They've never told him anything. He's taken to Kuwait, and he's put in Kuwait. He's put into what he calls an animal cage. And, of course, unless the flap of the tent is open, it's dark. And he spends almost 2 months in and out, mostly in that cage. And at that point, he begins to collapse, really. That was the worst psychological period he had, because he's in this place. He doesn't know why he's there. He's awakened every night at 11 p.m., at night, and his day consists of night. His day consists of staying up from 11 till 12 or 1 noon the next day, and then he's allowed to go to sleep. So he's kept up for that entire period, and he says, I didn't know what day was, I didn't know what night was, and he says, I really almost lost it completely as a person. And there was one point where he just fainted, and he remembers waking up, and there were, you know, military people over him. But you have to say it was completely and utterly attributable to the treatment he had. And if you look at what happened at Guantanamo or other places like that, that's what this was. This was a sensory deprivation place. They reversed the hours of his sleep, and they essentially broke him down. I was crying through the whole first part of it. The man has so much dignity and so much presence. Even now talking to you, it just brought tears to my eyes. That was Kuwait. Then he's taken to Quantico in Virginia, which is a Marine base. He's in the Army, but he's taken to a Marine military base. That's where he's put into another prison cage. This was 8 foot by 6 foot. There's a chair outside where a man sits observing him 24 hours a day. There's an observatory across him if that man ever leaves, where they can see him. There's a light into his cage, into his prison cell, the entire time. Bright light. He sleeps on something called a rack. He has to face the light, because if his face isn't facing the light where it can be seen by the observatory or the man on the chair, they come into his cell, they wake him up, and they turn him around so his face faces the light. He's in that cell 23.5 hours a day. He's taken out for 20 minutes of sunshine visit. He's considered on duty. And he has to stand the entire time, except he's allowed to sit on his bunk with his feet on the ground, but not his back against the wall. His back goes against the wall, they come in there and they push it out. So this is 10, 12 hours a day. He's in what you would have to call a stress position. This is your nightmare, your utter nightmare of how the United States destroys human beings, and in this case, attempted to destroy Bradley Manning. Through this entire period at Quantico, which was 9 months, from the day he got there until they finally were forced to move him because of the protests about him, the psychiatrist in charge of Bradley Manning said he was normal had no more risk of suicide than anyone else in that prison, should be taken off suicide watch, it's called, and taken off prevention of injury watch, and the brig commander refused to do it. And that never happens where the brig commander doesn't listen to what the psychiatrists are saying. And so what's come out is something else was going on here. And the something else is, of course, the orders were being given not from that brig, but from some generals up the line and conceivably the Pentagon and ultimately who knows. And so what comes out of this is this effort of the U.S., and the U.S. is really who should be on trial here, to try and break this human being, smash him into the ground, and the incredible dignity he had yesterday and today as he is continuing to testify and tell the story of what happened to him in 2.5 years in U.S. custody.
Michael Ratner is the former president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, and he spoke with WBAI's Andrea Sears earlier today.